Good morning. I am tremendously excited that Jonathan and his wife Jennifer are here with us. They blessed us with their presence yesterday in our singing workshop and sharing some things with our song leaders, but also with us as a congregation. And I'm so thankful. There we go. You can hear me a little better now. I'm so thankful that they got to come up. Jonathan is an excellent song leader, which is why we thought about him to lead that yesterday. But also, there's a little bit of a selfish reason. He was Allison's youth minister growing up, and he's the one who did our wedding. And so he couldn't say no when we asked him to come, right? And then I said, "And would you stay Sunday too and lead some singing Sunday?" And so thank you for being here for that. Every month this year, we are going to be looking at one of the one another passages in Scripture. And one of those passages that we wanted to study when Adam and I were thinking about lessons for 2026 was Ephesians 5:19, which contains the phrase speaking to or addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we thought, what better day to study that passage than the day after our singing workshop? And so that's why we're going to study this one today. But we're also incorporating song into our worship service in a little different way than we normally do as far as the order of worship. But I hope that you see the why behind that as we go along. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But this is my purpose, or this is our purpose, in the way that worship is being organized this morning. I want us to practice letting each part of the scriptures we're going to study this morning shape the way we sing and the way that we worship God. So, if you have your Bibles, I hope you're at Ephesians 5. If not, be turning there. That's where we're going to be all of this morning. Ephesians 5:15 is where we're going to start. And Paul is going to present three dichotomies, three things that are opposed to each other. And each dichotomy creates the foundation for why we sing and how we sing. And after we look at each one, I'm going to challenge you to think about something, to dwell on something as we sing the next few songs that Jonathan will lead us in. So if you're in Ephesians 5, look at those first two verses that Ben read, verse 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The dichotomy here is walking unwisely versus walking wisely. What does that mean? Verse 16 actually interprets verse 15 for us. Walking wisely means that we make the best use of our time. It means that every moment we live is a moment lived for God and for His purposes. And in contrast, walking unwisely is choosing to let each moment of each day be used for evil or just meaninglessness. And we're not necessarily talking about a specific day or a specific action. Paul is really addressing the big picture of our lives. He's asking Christians to look carefully, to consider, to think about the walk of their life. So we have to ask ourselves the question as we read these couple verses: how are we walking? How are we living? Who are you walking with? Who are you living for? And where are you walking to? Where is your life headed? What God is concerned about is that we are walking like Him, that we are walking with Him, and that we are walking for Him. This passage is about the walk and the life of a disciple of Christ. Notice what this passage is not really about at its core. He's not actually talking about the assembly worship, what we're doing right now. Now, it's going to apply. But he's really talking about something much bigger. Paul wants us to think about the entire life of a Christian as a follower of Jesus. And here's why that's important. I think one of my fears with the church, and maybe one of Paul's fears in writing this part of the letter to the Ephesians, is that we compartmentalize our faith sometimes. At least that's the temptation. I think I see this a lot in the way I ask questions, in the way you might ask questions. And you go up to a brother or sister in Christ and you say, "How are you doing spiritually?" Good question to ask. And they answer, And then you say, okay, and what about how are you doing physically? How are you doing emotionally? How are you doing socially? Are all those things disconnected? Our faith and allegiance to Jesus is not just one part of our life. It is our life. And it should shape every aspect of our lives. And that mentality can easily bleed into worship, where our faith is relegated to what we do on Sunday when we assemble with other Christians. And that impacts the way we sing to God. If our faith only matters for 2 hours on a Sunday morning, our singing will really only matter for 2 hours on a Sunday morning, maybe us. Or we'll start singing like it only matters for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. If our faith is our life, if our faith is our walk, if our walk is our faith walk is permeating every part of our life, that's going to start seeping into everything we do and say and sing. Our singing will reflect a life that's walking with God and for God and to God. And so as we're going to see as we go through Ephesians 5 is that a God honoring one another's singing does not flow out of a weekly ritual. It flows out of your daily walk with God. If you are walking unwisely, your singing will reflect that. If you are walking wisely, your singing to God will reflect that. Our singing and our worship to God flow out of the way we walk with Him. So my challenge as we sing these next two songs, think about your daily walk with God as you sing.
Holy, holy.
Oh,
Carrying on in Ephesians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, considering how we walk in those two verses we just read, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The second dichotomy is foolishness and understanding. But what defines each one? Well, in this verse, Paul really defines and differentiates them based on knowledge and understanding of the will of God. Comprehension about the will of God determines whether one is foolish or has understanding. I did a lesson back in August on the will of God, and we talked a lot about God's will of direction. There's different categories of God's will, but the will of direction is the one that we like to focus on, really our culture might like to focus on. And this idea that God has a plan for every minute detail of your life. But that's not quite how that works. The truth is, He doesn't have a plan for every single detail of your life. Now, He cares about every detail of your life. But God doesn't have a preset plan for how every single thing needs to go and how every decision needs to be made. Now, He helps us make those decisions, and His wisdom is available to us. But He hasn't preset how you need to live your life, and that if you miss one thing, that all of a sudden your life is going to be headed down the wrong trajectory. God's will of direction is a little bit bigger and actually better than that truth, or that lie that our culture wants to tell us. God's will of direction is that our life would be like His Son Jesus in the way that we love, in our thought, in our action, in our sacrifice, in our mission. And if we're like Jesus, then that transforms every minute detail of our life. God is concerned with us knowing that desire. He's concerned with us knowing that He wants our lives to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus. A person who walks wisely understands that will of God. Their time isn't their own. It is God's, and is to be used like Jesus would have used His time. And when we walk with that understanding, when we live Christ-like lives on mission, making the most of each day, of each moment, it's going to transform a lot, but it's also going to transform our singing. Foolishness is to think that God's will for our lives is more about us than about Him. But if that is what we think, our singing will suffer, because singing will become more about us than about Him. How many times do you hear people say, I don't sing, or I don't want to sing, or I don't feel like singing because of, and it's something about them. I don't sound good. I don't feel good. I don't want to. I'm not in the mood. It's not about us. You could be the worst singer in the world. God wants to hear you, because His will is that you would be like Jesus. You know, Jesus sang. Jesus offered praises to God. In college, I had a friend who was absolutely tone deaf. And I hated sitting by him in worship. I know that's bad to say, but I focused too much on the notes. But man, he sang out. He was there to worship God, and his inability to hit a right note wasn't going to stop him from that. As we see, as we're going to see through the rest of this passage, God honoring one another singing flows out of understanding what the true will of God is. It's about being like Jesus. It's about focusing on Him, not ourselves. And so our singing and our worship to God need to flow out of our understanding of that desire, of God's will for our lives. And so my challenge as we sing these next two songs is that you think about God's will for your life, God's will for your Christ-likeness, and your striving and your journey in that pursuit.
About tomorrow, I just stare.
Ephesians 5, verse 18. Considering what we've talked about, walking and understanding, the third and final dichotomy, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The last dichotomy is one of consumption. We are all consumed by something. We all serve something or someone. Some of us, as the example Paul gives, may be consumed by substances like wine leading to drunkenness. Some of us may be consumed by achievement or status. Some of us may be consumed by greed or money, and still others of us may simply be consumed by ourselves. Whatever it may be for you, whatever it may be for me, we are missing the mark if we are consumed by anything other than the Spirit of God. God is concerned with us being consumed by Him and filled with Him. Walking wisely, understanding the will of God, means nothing if there is no room for anyone on the throne of your lives but yourself. We must be completely filled, completely consumed by God, completely devoted to God. As I said before, He is not part of our life. He is our life. If God is only a part of your life, you will be consumed by something else. It's not just about rejecting God that leads to a life that's consumed by ungodliness. You can have God in your life and still be consumed by ungodliness. He demands it all. And if we are consumed by something besides God, it will deteriorate our singing. As you will see, God honoring, one another singing, flows out of a Spirit-filled, God-consumed life. Anything less will affect the way that you sing. Our singing and our worship flows out of who we are consumed by. Is that God? And so my challenge as we sing these next two songs, think about who you are consumed by and how consumed you are by God. finishing our passage, Ephesians 5, verse 19 through 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Stop there. Let's go back. What has he just been talking about? Our walk, how we understand the will of God, and being consumed and filled with his Spirit. With that in mind, read it again. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. A natural outflowing of a walk with God, of understanding his will for our lives, and being consumed by him, is to speak to one another and to God in deep, spiritual, and melodious ways. Other natural outflowings, he says, of a spirit-filled life are thanksgiving to God, for reverence to each other, and reverence to Jesus. We could look at all of those, but we're going to focus on the first outflowing that he looks at, that he mentions. We do not speak to one another in song so that we can walk wisely with God. We speak to one another in song because we are already trying to walk wisely with God. We do not speak to one another in song so that we can understand the will of God. We speak to one another in song because we are learning to understand the will of God, and our singing is a part of that learning process. We do not speak to one another in song so that we can be filled with God's Spirit. We speak to one another in song because we are already filled and being filled with his Spirit. Our singing to one another, our ability to encourage one another, to communicate deep spiritual truths as we've done this morning, is directly impacted by the way we are walking every day of our lives, the way we are learning the will of God, and the way we are consumed or not consumed by God. If we want to speak to one another, to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, then we must evaluate our walk, our understanding, and our consumption. If your faith, your walk, your understanding, and your spirit-filled moments are confined to 2 hours on a Sunday morning, you are severely handicapped from speaking to Christians in deep spiritual ways. You're severely handicapped from making an honorable, heartfelt melody to God. Our singing and our worship flow out of who we are and the big picture of our lives. So what does that mean for you? I love to sing. You probably know that about me. I'm not the best singer, song leader in the world, but I do enjoy it. And there's an aspect of singing that is meant to be encouragement and joyful. It being here this morning, singing with y'all, has brought joy to my heart. I hope it's brought joy to your heart. But it isn't about just coming here and feeling good and singing a couple happy songs. Our singing flows out of the rest of the week, the rest of the year, the rest of our lives. That's where the singing starts, before you ever even open your mouth, before I ever even open my mouth. What kind of life is informing our singing? I think that's what Paul has in mind when he encourages them to sing and address one another. Do it the right way. The order of worship has been a little different this morning, and it's going to be a little different at the end. We're going to have an invitation song here in a minute. And after that, we're going to have a prayer. But after the prayer, we're going to have another song. We're going to end in singing. It seemed fitting to end in a song on a Sunday like this. I know that's a little different sometimes, so don't get up and leave right after the closing prayer. We're going to have one more song before we go over and eat. I hope that the time spent in reflection during our singing has been beneficial to you. I hope that this has allowed us to think about what is informing the way we sing. What kind of life is informing the way we bring our praises and our worship to God? What kind of worship what kind of singing is flowing out of the way we are living our lives? And that's the question I want to leave us with this morning. What is the life you are living that informs the way you are singing? We can come and we can sing, you know, 2-3 times a week here together as a church. We can go through those ritualistic motions. But if it does not flow out of a life that's walking with God, seeking to understand His will, and seeking to be completely consumed and devoted to Him, then I would suggest that is a song that's lacking. That is a time of singing that is not the full picture, the beautiful picture of singing that Paul has in mind when he wrote this passage of Scripture. And so I want you to ask yourself, what is the life that you are living that is impacting the way you are singing? And if you need help or encouragement, prayers, or your brothers and sisters to be with you to help you live the life Paul has in mind, I encourage you to come as we stand, as we sing.